switch of faith turned on. Keep the switch of faith turned on.
The Spirit of Faith Netcast is on the air. Once again, glad you could join us for another Spirit of Faith Netcast, and this is a very special netcast this week. We're going to be talking about the fact that we now live in the last of the last days and what the Bible calls perilous times. The Word of God tells us perilous times shall come, and then it tells us what to expect in those perilous times. Now, it may sound like a negative message, but it's actually a very positive message for believers. So if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, these are exciting times to live in, and times when you're going to be able to live the life of God to the fullest and experience the fullness of the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this netcast is taken actually from Dr. Gary Price's TV show that I recorded a few weeks ago in Concord, North Carolina at Word of Faith Worship Center. He has an awesome studio there, and I mentioned in the last few netcasts about the studio that they have built there, and this is actually was shot at that studio, and I think it's just going to be really exciting for you to see what they have accomplished by believing God for all that equipment and all the things that they've got set up there, all of it by faith and all of it paid for 100%. Now, that's just exciting. Also, I want to mention that several of the resources that I'm going to offer at the end of this netcast are really important for you right now as I record this. Now, as I record this, this is a Sunday, October 26th, and I want to encourage you to take advantage of some of these resources I'm going to be offering at the end of the netcast, so stay tuned for that. Also, I want to mention that the long-awaited bandwidth is available now. So if you're watching this netcast on the internet directly, in other words, not downloading it, but just watching it on the website, you will notice that it shouldn't hesitate, shouldn't pause. It will just play. And also, because of a new technology that we've implemented in terms of streaming this netcast, you can actually take your mouse and click on the timeline at various positions, and it will pick up at that point in time. Now, the reason I mention this is really useful for you. If we begin to teach on the netcast and you think, wait a minute, what do you say? Maybe you get a little distracted. Maybe the phone rings, whatever. You can actually go back on the timeline and click and pick up at an earlier point and listen to it again. And it's just a little neat trick that you can do with this streaming video. So I'm excited about it, and I trust you will be too. And, of course, we still have the audio that you can download, the video that you can download, and you can watch it right there on your own computer, offline, so to speak. So right now, let's go into this message that was recorded a few weeks ago, and we're talking about the importance of living for God and listening to God in perilous times.
Let's go ahead and get started, and you have some things on your heart that we just need to talk about today.
All right. You know, it's funny, you listen to people. I work a secular job, and I go into work every day, and the things that you hear people talking about, literally, they know in their heart that it's the last days. You can say what you will. You look at the financial situation. You look at the world situation. You look at politics. Everything that's happening, there's a sense of urgency. There's a sense of, I would say even a sense of destiny that people know in their heart if they have any kind of spiritual direction at all. They're sensing that these are not ordinary times. And as Pastor Price said, we've been together 30-plus years, and we've seen a lot of things. There's been all kinds of different times and ages we've lived in terms of the operation of the Word of God and the faith. But these are just unique times that we live in and exciting times. And what I wanted to start with is in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, he says here, "This know also that in the last days," and I believe we're in the last days. Matter of fact, I think we're in the last of the last days. But it says, "In the last days, perilous times shall come." Now, notice it doesn't say
that in the last days, perilous times might come unless the whole body of Christ gets together and prays and holds hands and sings kumbaya, you know, all those kinds of things. No, he says perilous times shall come.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean that Christians are going to be living in defeat. That doesn't mean that we have to give in to those perilous times. Because right in the middle of a perilous time, you can be used by God. You can excel in what you do. You can prosper in what you do. Anything you put your hand to can prosper. But we're talking about the world. We're talking about the world system. We're talking about the fact that as we get closer to the end, the world will get worse and worse. Mm-hmm. But as the world gets worse and worse, grace also shall much more abound.
Yeah.
So that's really what we're talking about. But let's look at verse 2.
So it's a time of encouragement for people who find themselves...
Exactly, for people of faith.
...facing fear, or maybe of their finances or whatever's happening. Maybe their 401ks or
right.
whatever
that is.
Right, they
see that 401k
is.
Dwindling.
Yeah.
And that's happened to me. I mean, I look at my 401k, my retirement plan, and I look at it drop. Mm-hmm. And there's a natural part of you that says, oh my goodness... You know, there's a fear, there's a panic that tries to come on you. But then I just pull back and say, wait a minute, I don't trust in uncertain riches.
That's right.
I mean, they're uncertain.
Yeah.
The stock market goes up, the 401k goes up. It goes down, it goes down. That's uncertain riches. But that's not what I trust in. I trust in God. I trust in the fact that as a tither and a giver, he's going to meet my need according to his riches in glory. Not according to the financial system, not according to Wall Street, not according to any bailouts, you know, whatever mm-hmm. might be in the news. So I don't have to be worried or concerned about that. And that really is a good example of exactly what I'm talking about.
And, you know, I checked my blood pressure yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and it was normal.
It's totally normal. Same with me. And I checked it. It actually, it was normal even for somebody my size. It was 120 over 80. I was like, well, hey, I'm doing pretty well.
Yeah.
So the thing is, you don't have to worry. You don't have to be concerned. Now, you need to be aware
yeah.
that these are perilous times. And that awareness leads us to, I think, a sense and a seriousness about responsibility. We have a responsibility to reach the world because they're panicking. I mean, you look around you. Like I was telling you about these guys at work. I heard one guy who, he was sort of joking, but he said, well, I believe in beans and bullets. He said, I'm going to put me a bunch of beans in my cellar and I'm going to have bullets for my gun for when they come after him. And I thought, you know, that's really sad. Now, he was joking a little, but
yeah.
you could tell he was also serious because he was thinking, what if I lose my job? What if I can't pay for the gas in my car? What's my family going to do? This particular guy lives out in the middle of the country. He's got his own little garden and all that. And he's thinking, well, at least I've got a way to meet my needs, you know. And I'm thinking, that's just so sad that he's taking it all on himself. He's looking at what can I do to survive in these perilous times. Well, we don't have to, as Christians, as believers, and I don't know if he's a believer in the sense of whether he's born again or not, but he's obviously untaught concerning the word. The thing is, as believers, we don't have to sweat it.
That's right.
God's going to take care of his children.
Mm-hmm.
And just like as a father, I want to take care of my son and make sure his needs are met, our Heavenly Father takes care of us and wants to make sure our needs are met.
That's right.
And he's going to do that. I don't have, if I am so worried and concerned, I'm obviously not trusting him to take care of me. And that'd be the same thing as if Ben, my son, were to sit there and go, oh, no, am I going to get anything to eat tomorrow? He doesn't ever think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Never crosses his mind. Why? Because he knows he's going to be taken care of. Same thing with us. We need to be aware that, yes, God's got some things he wants us to do in these last days, but he's going to take care of our needs.
Yeah.
So let's go back here to verse 2. It says in these last times, during these perilous times, men shall be lovers of their own selves. They'll be self-centered. And I can almost say that right there sums up what the world, the way the world looks at things. Even concerning choosing a political leader or whatever, it's always, what does it mean to me? What's my bottom line? How is it going to change my finances, my job, my health care? It's all self-centered. They're going to be lovers of themselves. They're going to be covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. I don't know about you, but you know I'm on the internet quite a bit because I work with computers, and I see all kinds of stuff people post and everything. there are more blasphemous, downright blasphemous statements coming against God, coming against the things of God, than I have seen in my whole life, and I've been around a while. So more people are getting blasphemous. They're disobedient to parents. They're unthankful. They're unholy. They're without natural affection. Homosexuality is increasing and becoming more open and accepted by society. They're without natural affection. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce. You know, they talk about road rage. Now they're talking about all kinds of other rage, you know, in different settings. Road rage, school rage, political rage, whatever. But they're gotten fierce. They've gotten out of control. Despisers of those that are good. And that's one thing that I've seen more, even in the political arena. Those who have made statements that they are literal believers of the Scripture, that they stand for what the Bible says is true, are belittled and made fun of as though they were stupid because they simply believe the Bible. Now, in my lifetime, I'm only 54 years old, 53 years old, somewhere in that range. I never keep up, you know, because I'm not in the middle of the age yet. You know, I've got 120 years. I got a long way to go, so I don't even think about it. But the thing is, in my lifetime so far, I have seen people, even people in the public eye, would not dare say some of the things about Scripture and things about those that are good. Used to, people would admire folks that were Christians.
Yeah.
They would admire folks that go to church. They would, maybe they weren't churchgoers, but at least they kind of, you know, that's more normal. You know, I really should be going to church. I really should be doing these things. That was the norm. Now, it's gotten to be the exception. Mm-hmm. It's gotten to be that if you are really making a stand for things of the Word of God, people are just running you down, making fun of you. And that you see it in the public eye. You see it on the news. But again, the last days, perilous times. Despisers to those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now, this phrase right here, people take this to the extreme in one sense, lovers of pleasure, and they imagine them out there, you know, in debauchery and you know, carousing around and that kind of pleasure, drinking and all this kind of stuff. More than lovers of God. Well, that's true, but there's a range here, and this is an area I think, unfortunately, a lot of Christians fall into. They love the things they enjoy more than they love the things of God.
Yeah.
And this is something that God has been dealing with me personally about in recent days, and we talked about it a little bit. I wrote an article called Focus, 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 and I was talking about the fact that God wants us to get serious about these days we live in. And the things that I was doing were not sin. Matter of fact, they were just things that I enjoyed. You know, I was doing a podcast on the internet about computer technology. And it was funny and it was silly. And I had fun doing it. But the Lord really began to deal with me about that. Why are you doing this? What does it accomplish? 1,000 years from now, what will it mean? And I got thinking about it, and I thought about all the time and all the effort and all the energy I was putting into that just because I just enjoyed it. Well, you know, God didn't want to take away everything you enjoy, but he does want us to get serious about our responsibility. And what he began to deal with me about personally, and I'm not saying this, everybody should do this certain thing that I'm talking about, but what I began to deal with in terms of what the Lord was dealing with me personally about is lay aside these things that you simply enjoy, so you'll have more time to do what the Scripture says we should be doing in these last days, teaching the Word, ministering the Word. Things he called me to do that I hadn't let it slip, but I'd let it become less of a priority. Back in our early days, our priority, and you and I palled around together all the time, every day we'd get together. During that time, our priority was the Word.
Yeah.
We studied the Word, we preached the Word, we taught the Word, we traveled, we were on TV, we were going all over the place together preaching the Word. And you look back and say, what happened? You know, why aren't we doing that as much as we were? And I think the whole body of Christ has fallen into that trap of, well, you know, I enjoy doing this. I enjoy going fishing. I enjoy doing this. Nothing wrong with those things. There is nothing wrong with any of these things. But the scripture says that we should lay aside the sin and the weight that so easily besets us.
Yeah.
There are certain things that aren't sin, but they can be weights. They can pull you down and keep you away from the things of God. And so I personally just begin to say, okay, I'm not doing that anymore. I cut it off. Matter of fact, it shocked my wife, shocked my son, the people who are listening to that podcast and other things. And that's just one of many examples of things that I just said, no, I'm not doing that anymore. And they all went, what? And it allowed me to concentrate on what God's called me to do and make some decisions that allowed me to get serious about the things of God. Not that I wasn't already. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. There's degrees. Mm-hmm. And so as I did that, I found that I was having more fun. I was enjoying more what I was doing for the Lord.
Yeah.
And my prayer life changed. My Bible study life changed. So much changed. And I thought, wow, this is great. Well, that's what God's called us to. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but let's keep going. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Verse 5, having a form of godliness. They're going to church. They're, you know, they're doing what they think is right, but denying the power thereof. There you go. It's time not to play church anymore. Just go to be going. But realize we're there to do a job. The power of God is involved. He says, from these kind of people, turn away.
Yeah.
Leave them alone. If that's the kind of church you're going to, leave it. Now, I don't just, you know, casually tell anybody to leave a church. But if you look around and you see that your church has a form of godliness, but they're denying the power of God, they say you shouldn't speak in tongues, they say that healing's passed away and all that kind of stuff, I'll tell those folks to leave. Because these are perilous times. You don't need to be hearing junk. Now, there was a day you could hear stuff and, okay, you could live your life. And, you know, but those days are past. We're in a time now. We've got to hear the Word of God. We've got to hear it consistently. We've got to be able to operate in the gifts of the Spirit as God wills. We've got to be open to that at all times, not just at church. And we've got to be able to be used by God because we're the salt here on the earth. We're the preservative.
Yes. Amen.
And so that's what we've got to do. And that means individually as Christians, we've got to start assessing where we're at, what we need to do. And, you know, we're close to the political season, election. And a lot of people that I talk to, they're not thinking about the election in terms of eternal things. They're looking at the election in terms of, as we said earlier, what does it mean to me? What does it mean to my finances? Is it going to help my health care? You know what? I really don't care about any of those issues. You know, they're important issues, but they don't really mean a lot to me. What means a lot to me is what the Word of God says. Where do they stand on killing babies? Where do they stand on homosexuality and the acceptance of that in our society? Where do they stand on marriage and the sanctity of marriage? And you think, oh, yeah, there you go, you Christians. Yeah, exactly. We're Christians. We're believers. We stand for the Word of God.
You know, all you have to do, now just figure this out. What's going to happen when the Christians are raptured out of this earth?
Oh, yeah. The preservative's gone.
That's going to show you what it would be like if we wasn't here.
Right, exactly.
I don't think they really want that.
No, and the thing is, once that preservative's gone, it'll rot.
Yeah.
And it'll rot quick.
7 years, it'll all be over.
And as we get closer to that time, Christians are going to have to make a decision. They're either going to have to get really serious and take their preservative status seriously and do what they're called to do, or they're going to fall back into what the rest of the world's doing, and they're going to rot.
Yeah.
I mean, put it simply.
Bill, what we're talking about here is we're talking about the character of Christians.
Exactly.
That they need to have a godlike character. And prepare,
be God-minded.
Yeah, be God-minded so that we will live that life that is a life of faith, not a life of fear.
Right.
If we've got to get rid of the fear. If it's fear, it's not of God. If it's a faith, it is of God.
Right. And you can't be in faith if you are in fear.
That's right.
They are reciprocals. They're totally different. It's like the old in school when they taught you about number lines. And you had a number line going the positive direction, you had a number line going the negative direction. Those two points will never meet. They'll keep traveling in opposite directions. Same thing with faith and fear.
So we need to get get with the things of God and make our decisions. See, we make what causes us to make wrong decisions is our character.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we don't have the same support system to support our Christian life or our character. And therefore, maybe we've got like 10 pillows that I'm going to be talking about on the program soon. And so the 10 pillows are virtues of character.
Right.
That it's like a you got these different pillows, you're holding up everything, and it's got to have all those character, all of those. In fact, let me, we've got a lot to do here in the next few minutes because we're just about running out of time already, and I can't believe that it's going that fast.
Oh, yeah.
But we have something that I'm going to share with the people, and I'll send you this if you'll just call me and let me know you want it. I'll send it to you free of charge, and it's called Christian Character, and the pillows or the virtues. There's 10 virtues. One is humility, faithfulness. Number 3 is forgiveness. Number 4 is courage. Number 5 is honor. Number 6 is loyalty. Number 7 is diligence. And we'll talk about that on another program at another time. Number 7 is diligence. Number 8 is gratitude. Number 9 is compassion. And number 10 is patience.
And notice that that list of Christian character standards is opposite of what we read.
Is exactly opposite.
What the perilous times are revealing in the world's character.
That's right.
And it's that definitive. It's that separate. What the world will begin to exemplify more and more, and what Christians need to exemplify more and more, is this Christian character.
Yeah.
And God's calling us today. He's calling us to get serious and do what the Word of God says we need to do, part of which is Romans chapter 12, where it talks about, be not conformed to this world, in verse 2, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's exactly what we're doing with these principles you're talking about, renewing our mind to the Word and getting it off of the world.
Yeah, we're going to have to do something, Bill. The Bible tells us, now we've talked about the negative part of how we've been sometime living our life and just really not realizing it's perilous times.
Right.
And these are the last days. They're the last of the last days. And it's time for us. We have an opportunity. We have an election that's coming up here in just a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And in this election, we're going to have to make a good quality, right decision. And I believe the decision needs to be made according to the character that's within us. That's the same character we want to see as our president, as our leaders, and all the way down to our local and city officials. And so, therefore, what do we stand for, and what does that candidate that you're looking at, how are you going to make a decision? How is it going to be the right decision? I believe if you'll pray and ask God, God will show you the man who believes like God believes. I believe God is a pro-life.
Absolutely.
I believe God is for life.
He said it in His Word.
It's in His Word. I do not believe that there's some people that believe that abortion is right, the woman's right.
It's just a choice. You know,
and some believe that
that's not what the Bible teaches.
That God honors life. And in fact, if He didn't honor life, He couldn't honor you. So one of the things that we want to help you with before we leave this program today, the Bible says in Psalms 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Proverbs 29:2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Now, how are you going to know who to vote for? How do you know? What's the standard? Let's go to the Word of God and make that our standard as a Christian. Just go to the Word of God. You know, the Christians can put anybody in office they want to. Because if they vote the Word of God, we'll vote like God wants us to vote.
And between now and then, they need to be praying. They need to be praying.
Yes.
This is a serious time. Intercessory prayer needs to be made for our nation and for people making this important decision.
That's right. In 1 Timothy, I'll give you a scripture for that. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, I exhort thee therefore that first of all supplications, which means petitions, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. That includes our politicians. 1 Timothy 2:2 says, for kings. That's presidents.
Say presidents, exactly.
Yeah, you can say presidents. And for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness. That's without godliness, we're not going to see the Lord.
Right.
We won't go into rapture without godliness and honesty.
Yeah. And so, what a lot of people miss about that scripture is that we should lead a quiet and peaceable life. That's not just because we want to enjoy
a
quiet and peaceable life. We need peace,
yeah,
and we need a quiet time so we'll be able to preach the gospel.
That's right.
If everybody's so involved in war and finances and everything else that they're not listening to the word, that's detrimental to us preaching the gospel.
Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace. That's what he thinks.
Amen.
About
that's
you.
Right.
And not of evil, to give you an expected end, what God expects.
Yeah.
Now, I want to help you with some things. Now, the easiest way to do this, and we're going to put this up on the screen, is to go to Brother Copeland's website and click on what it's talking about when it comes up about God and nation. And just click on that. And in that, you will see, if you're a minister of the gospel, there is a guide in there that tells you what you can do and what you can't do regarding what you say in the pulpit. And that's this particular product right here. It's several pages, and it talks
and
about...
You can download that and print
it. You can download it. You can print it right out. Also, there is a voter issue guide for the presidents, which one believes what they believe, and on the back, you've got some more information that talks about values and different things, and you can see that. And you can see this is a gauge that when you put this next to your Bible and see what God says about these issues, find out what the candidates are actually believing in. And then there's a North Carolina voter's guide. All of this is on Brother Copeland's website. KCM.org, www.kcm.org, and just click on all of this, and it's all right there that you can download it. And here's a 16-page voter's guide, and also there's a prayer there. This voter's guide actually has a ballot that you can actually go through this, find out where your candidates stand, and fill in the blanks on the ballot. You take that, cut it out, and take it with you to the polls, and you'll know exactly who to vote for because of what your standards, what your values are. And if you have good Christian
character.
And
I like that because you can take that and put it, fill it out in advance in prayer, in your prayer closet, and then you won't be influenced by the world and by news. You'll just take that and vote along those lines.
Well, these are the things that you can do, and all of that's available. And in fact, if you need any more information, give us a call, and we'll help you with that.
All right, that was a blessing, praise God. Brother Gary and I got into some things in this netcast, and I want to encourage you to go back and listen to it as often as you need to get the meat of what we were talking about. And also, I'd encourage you to take advantage of the resources that I mentioned earlier in the netcast. And that is a link that I have on the website where you can go, and it will actually take you to Brother Kenneth Copeland's website, and he has several resources there that will help you in regards to this upcoming election. It's a voter guide. There's also a place that you can go, another link, that will take you to a North Carolina voter guide. For those of you that are in North Carolina, you may say, well, Dr. Bill, I'm listening in Maine. Well, you can go to Maine's resource as well, and then we'll put a link to Brother Copeland's site where it will take you to whatever state you may live in. You may say, well, you know, I'm listening in another country. Well, that's fine too, because God wants you involved in the political system of your country to the extent that you need to vote, you need to participate, you need to pray and ask God what he'd have you do in that particular country that you live in. I don't know what country it is. I don't know what their voting laws are, but you do, and you know how God can use you to best live a life of character and a life that is exemplary toward God and the things of God. So I'd encourage you to do that. I'd also encourage you to write me right here at Word of Faith Ministries. You can write me at drbill, Dr. Bill, at wofm.org. I'd encourage you to do that. Join us again next week. And remember, until then, to fulfill the Word of God.
Keep the switch of faith turned on. Keep the switch of faith turned on. Cast not away your confidence. Keep the switch of faith turned on.